I wanted to share something with you. Actually, Sister Louise shared this with me when was it that you gave this to me? Was it Sunday night? It's been a long week for me. A lot of stuff has been going on. And for those of you that prayed for me, thank you for my family. You might not have known stuff was going on, but it's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. But she gave me this. It's about 3 pages long. It talks about the number of abortion. It's got a counter on it that in the United States today, there's about 1,400 abortions that happen. And, you know, this is last week, was it? I think it was maybe the week before that New York voted to, you know, to abort children all the way up to birth, and then. And if they are born alive, even after the abortion, if the abortion failed, that they just leave them on the table and they just let them die. So, you know, that's shameful. A shameful for a country that says that it's one nation under God. It makes it really hard for me to pray. In fact, when that happened, I told God, I'm like, I can't pray for God to bless America anymore. We deserve judgment. We deserve whatever God determines is best for our nation. If we are willing to kill children and allow that, you know, we deserve it. We deserve it. There's only one way to overcome this, and that's with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know that means that we've got to take this to we've got to take what we believe to a whole new level. Since 1973, when Roe versus Wade, just in the United States, 60 million children have been aborted. You ever wonder where all the good presidents are, where all the good leaders are? We killed them. We killed them. 60 million. You know, that's more than what we lost in all the wars together. So it's just, man. And I read the statistics. You know, there are reasons right back here. And this one, it starts at 9 weeks after conception. The fetus is able to bend its fingers. You know, I have a nephew. He was born at 5 months. I mean, he fit in the palm of your hand. He's still alive. How old is he now? He's 10 years old now. I mean, he was barely there. And New York says he's not worth it. You know, they can hear a heartbeat at 20 days. They can hear a heartbeat. Most of those kids who come on Wednesday nights, they would fit this bill. New York would say they should have been aborted, just about every single one of them, for one reason or another, where it's economic, born to a bad environment, too many kids, out of marriage, out of wedlock. That's who we're reaching on Wednesdays, is people that New York and many other states are now, and many other people are saying, we don't want those type of people around. That's what they're doing. You know, one of the reasons why Joy and I went into foster care, which there's probably some people out here saying, you shouldn't be doing that. You got too much on your plate. And the message today is not about abortion or taking care of the kids. It's going to be about faith. And it takes faith to do something hard. It takes faith to step outside of your realm of comfort. But Christians have got to become more than pro-life. You got to become pro-kid. You got to be willing to take some risk. You got to be willing to take some chances. You know, I think that's one of the places where the church has failed the most. we would wave the banner of pro-life, not pro-kid. I mean, that's just the truth. I can prove it. I can prove it. Because you can go into churches and ask, hey, we need teachers for this kid's class. Man, it's like pulling teeth to get those teachers. Pro-life, not really pro-kid. And the reason is because we've got to step outside of our comfort zones. We've got to accept the faith that God wants for us. And I think that's a good intro to our message this morning, is if you really believe, you'll have faith. You know, so many times we think of faith as, well, it's this thing over here. It's something that I have. If you have faith, you'll see action in that person's life. Faith is not just, it's not a noun. It's an action verb. Belief is the noun. Belief in Jesus. And if we really believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that we really believe that in Him is the power of resurrection, if we really believe that in Him is healing and mercy and grace, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we begin to live in a way that it doesn't make sense. You know, I even hear it from my own family. Mitch, I think that those kids are distracting you. But however, when I read the Scriptures, this is what the Scripture will say. True religion and undefiled is to visit the widows and the fatherless. Do you realize that we've got a bunch of kids born to families that the state says, you don't need to have kids, you're unworthy. But when it comes down to it, they don't have help at the end of the day. They don't know how to take care of kids. They don't know what to do with them when they start growing, when they become like Austin back there. They can't deal with them. I can barely deal with him. But the problem is, we've got a bunch of Christians that they're not really operating off of faith. When we get to Mark chapter 5, I want you to look at this real quick. In Mark chapter 5, we see two individuals that they do something spectacular with their faith. I think y'all probably know the stories. We've got Jairus. He's the ruler of a synagogue. And his daughter, she's 12 years old. She's on her deathbed. She's barely able to breathe. And Jairus hears about Jesus and he says, I must go and see him. I must go see Jesus. That's the only hope for my child is Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus is the only hope for any child. Man, pray hard that these kids that we're dealing with on Wednesday nights learn about Jesus. Pray that they will receive Him as their Savior. He is their only hope. You know, I could teach them some principles, but what I'm trying to do is give them the understanding of who Jesus should be in their life. Do you pray for them by name? Maybe you don't know their names. Come learn their names. Most of them don't have good grandparents. Most of them don't have good parents. Most of them don't even get good meals. And we don't give them a good meal. We give them a snack. But to some of them, it's the best meal that they've had all week. That's what we're trying to reach. And that's just one day. And Jairus, he realizes that Jesus is the only hope for his daughter, and he comes to Jesus and just falls down before him, as humble as he can be, and says, "Jesus, will you heal my daughter? She's sick unto death. There's no cure. She needs a miracle." And Jesus says, "I'll go." And as he's going, this crowd of people are just thronging him. He can't even go very fast. And while he's going to Jairus' daughter, there's this lady. She's got an issue of blood. And she hears about Jesus. And she says, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be cleansed." The scripture says that she suffered many things of many physicians as they poked and they prodded on her, trying to get her to be healed. And nothing that they could do would fix her. But she's like, "Jesus could. All I have to do is just touch the hem of his garment." See, her faith. If she just sat back at home like, "You know, I know Jesus could heal me." But faith, because she believed that Jesus could do it, faith drove her to go past, to go through the crowd, to approach Jesus. Can you imagine how hard of a job that was to get through this multitude of people to try to find it? She can't even see. She probably couldn't even see him. She's just pushing her way through, trying to get to Jesus, and finally gets and touches him. And Jesus feels the healing power come from him because she had faith. And she was healed, and all of a sudden Jesus stops. He's like, "Somebody touched me." And his disciples are like, "Who touched? What do you mean? They're surrounded. It could have been anybody." And Jesus turns around and he sees this lady. And all of a sudden she knows. The scripture says that she's fearful. And Jesus looks at her and she falls down before him and says, "It was me." And she tells Jesus everything about her situation and how he just healed her. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." And he hadn't hardly got these words out of his mouth when one of Jairus' servants has come and says, "Jairus, your daughter's gone. She's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. There's nothing he can do for her. He can't heal her now." Can you imagine hearing those words? And Jesus turns to him and he says, "Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Just believe. Believe. You had enough faith to come to talk to me? Hold on to that, Jairus. Don't lose it. She's only asleep." And they continue on. They get to Jairus' house. And when they get there, can you imagine the ears of Jairus? He hears all the crying. He hears all the sobbing. His wife is just in distress. "Our daughter's gone, Jairus." And Jesus says, what's all this to do? She's not dead. She's only asleep. And the scripture says that they begin to laugh him to scorn. "We know a dead body when we see it, Jesus. She's gone." And he kicks them all out, except for Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and his wife. And he says, "Come up with me. Show me where the girl is." And he walks over to the body of the girl, grabs her hand, and says, "Damsel, arise." The dead body got up. And she began to walk, 12 years old. And Jesus said, "Give her some food. Because she's been made whole. She's well." Hey, faith in action can do something. If we'll have that kind of faith that Jairus and this woman did, would you pray with me real quick? Dear Lord, I ask today that you would just give us this type of faith that these two individuals had. That we can become more than who we really are. That we'll begin to look past all the obstacles in our life, all the obstacles that's in front of what of the church, that's in front of our city, of our nation, and we would just be able to do like these. That we can believe that you are the answer. And we won't just sit back and say you're the answer, but we'll act on it. Make our faith an action word. Not just something that we say that we have, but something that we show with our life. Help us to seek your face and acknowledge you as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who can do anything, that there is nothing too difficult for thee, that with you all things are possible. Lord, would you help us to live like that? Show us, Lord, how we can live like that. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. See, one of the things that we see with Jairus and this woman is that it took efforts. Look with me at a couple of verses. In verse 23, do you see where it says, and besought him greatly? That's what Jairus did. He besought Jesus greatly, saying, my little girl lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. He besought her greatly. He besought Jesus greatly. Have you ever done that? Have you ever besought Jesus greatly? You fasted and you prayed. Maybe even multiple days you did that. That you besought Him greatly. I know that's not popular in today's church to do those type of things. But I'm telling you, it works. But just sitting back and saying, I'm not going to do anything. If you really believe, your faith has to be put into action, just like Jairus did. The woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? Look what she did in verse 27. It says, and she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. She worked her way through the press. I mean, I can't even imagine. Well, I can imagine. I've been to Disney World before, and during an off time, it wasn't. They said it wasn't that crowded. But to me, we were in a press. We couldn't just maneuver through it. We had to wait for the herd of people to go through. Not this woman. She's like, I'm not waiting for everybody else to figure out what they need. I need Jesus right now, and I'm willing to go through all these people, and I'm willing to move the obstacles out of my way so I can get to Him, because I know that if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. I don't know how many people she had to move out of the way, how many ugly faces that she got, how many names she was called as she moved the press out of her way to get to Jesus. She made an effort. James 1:23. It says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He says, those that are just hearers and not a doer, you're looking right there, it's doing you no good. You got to go past just seeing yourself. You got to go to where Jesus is. Last Sunday night, we sang that song, The Wise Man and the Foolish Man. Y'all remember that? The wise man builds his house on the rock of true faith, the rock of knowing that Jesus is the answer. But it took effort. It took effort. Can you imagine how hard rock is to drill through? To make your anchors there? But at the end of the day, when the rains came and the floods came through, his house stood. You know, it was pretty amazing when that hurricane came through Florida this year. It just leveled every single house that was within like a mile of the beach. Did y'all know that? Every house gone, except for one. One house stood out of hundreds. And they asked him, "How did your house stand?" He said, "I sunk these posts twice of what the government told me to. They were in the rock." He didn't just build his house on the sand that was on the beach like so many other people did. He got down past the sand where it was hard. It cost him more money. The effort was much more than all these other houses did. But when the hurricane came through, his house stood. That's the way our houses need to be. That's the effort that we need to make. Does it cost more money? You bet it costs more money. Is it harder work? You bet it's harder work. But at the end of the day, you'll see that there's a house that's still there and everyone else's is gone. It takes effort. You got to have, that's the type of faith that we've got to have. Because let me tell you, the devil's after you. He's after every single church. He's after our doctrine. He's trying to water us down. Even the music that's coming into the church is so watered down, and most of it has a lot of false doctrine. You know, that's how the devil begins to get in. He softens our understanding of the Word. So many people build their foundation of the understanding on the songs rather than the Word of God. And that's not where we stand. We stand on God's Word. I will always stand on God's Word. And I will analyze songs to see, do they match Jesus, the Word of God? Do they stand up to sound doctrine? Because I believe faith is important. And if you believe like that says, well, you'll fail. And at the end of the day, you'll wonder why. But if you stand on the solid ground of God's Word, you'll know He won't fail you. You'll see some amazing things. The second thing is they trusted Jesus. They trusted that Jesus was the answer. Look at verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers to synagogue, of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet." He trusted Jesus. He knew that no one else could do it. Just Jesus. He didn't look for a bunch of other doctors. He looked for the master physician. He trusted him. Look at verse 28. "The woman, for she said, 'If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.'" She trusted Jesus. Yeah, in her past, she did trust those other guys, and they failed her. They hurt her. They caused scars on her. She's like, "I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus." Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Do you understand that if you trust Jesus, you will fall down at his feet. You will lay everything in front of him. Everything that about who you are, everything about what you own, you say it is yours. You trust him with everything. You give your life 100% to him. You're not holding back for yourself. You're giving it to him. You trust him. Jairus was putting his daughter in the hands of Jesus. This woman, she was putting her life in the hands of Jesus. She trusted him. Psalms 73 and verse 28, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy good works." You know, I don't know what y'all were thinking when you called this guy to be your pastor. I had no clue what I was doing. Not much has changed. And if you're putting your trust in me to change the direction that we're going, to change the direction of other people's lives, I'm going to fail you. But if you'll put me in the hands of Jesus and you trust Him, then that'll make all the difference. But you've got to do that. You've got to trust Jesus. You can't trust whoever it is that's standing back here. It doesn't matter how good, how smart they are, how good they are at their oratory skills. Jesus is the answer. And we got to stay close to Him. And we've got to humble before Him. If we could do these, somebody who has faith in Jesus, they're going to see miracles. I can remember when I was a recruiter, I lived off of miracles. You think, that's crazy. I was trying to be an honest recruiter. An honest recruiter lives off of miracles, not lies. I had buddies, they lived off of lies. I lived off of honesty and integrity. That meant I needed miracles. And you know what? God supplied. Now you think that doesn't mean I didn't stress. I was stressed out all the time. It was a struggle to trust Jesus. The effort that I had to make it to church on Wednesday night, the first year, I fell asleep every single Wednesday night. I tried to make it. I was so tired. It was hard. You know, we've got to see that if we can put faith in Jesus, we make the efforts, we trust in Him, miracles will be something that we see regularly. I know that's not a common teaching, right? It's not common to talk about miracles. Does Jesus still do miracles? Is God still making miracles? I think He is. If we would open our eyes and we would see, if we'd have faith, faith that is in action, we'll see miracles. Look in verse 29 here, what these two saw. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She saw a miracle. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Look what Jairus saw in verse 42. He said, and straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was dead and now she's alive. He saw a miracle. You know, one of the things that is unique about miracles is sometimes you think it's going to happen the way you think it's going to. Like the woman did. She's like, all I need to do is just touch Him and He'll heal me. He'll cleanse me. Jairus thought, if I can just get Jesus to lay His hands on her, she'll just be healed. But that's not how that's not what happened. She died. And she had to be rose from the dead. Sometimes we're not looking for that type of miracle. Which one was better, Jairus? He's like, I don't know. I had to go through the pain of losing my daughter. I had to see my wife so sad. I had to see everybody in my family mourning the loss of her. I'll never get that out of my mind. The breaking of my heart that I felt when that servant came and said, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. He saw a miracle. He trusted Jesus, who turned to him and said, just believe. Can you believe? Keep trusting. Don't quit on me, Jairus. It's not over yet. Psalm 77:14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Do you know that hasn't changed yet? He's still the God who does wonders. But we live in an environment that we're not used to wonders. We're used to instant gratification. We're used to, well, I want it now. I must have it now. The age of Google. The age of the internet. The age of Amazon, you know. We can have it here in 2 days. That's about as long as I'm willing to wait. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Remember, God is the one who still does wonders. But it's not over. We've got to press through the fear. Have you realized that we live in a day and age of fear? We're afraid somebody's going to break into our house and shoot us, because we hear about it all the time. We're afraid that somebody's gonna rob us at the store. It happens all the time. And those seem like legitimate fears. We're afraid of terrorist attacks. We're afraid the economy is gonna bust. Christian people don't need to live in fear. I'm not telling you to be unaware. I'm not telling you to be, just to go out and be haphazard, do things. You can be cautious, but don't be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's from something else. The devil wants you to be afraid, because if you can be afraid, you will never make the effort. Do you realize that? If you're afraid, you will not make the effort. If you're afraid, you will not trust Jesus. If you're afraid, you will not see miracles. You've got to press through the fear. Can you imagine? Jairus, or actually this woman, let's talk about the woman first. Look at verse 33. It says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling," her fear didn't begin right there. It began when she saw the crowd swarming Jesus. She could have said, well, what if somebody attacks me while I'm out in this crowd? I don't have anybody to protect me. And she could have had a host of what ifs going through her mind. What if Jesus rejects me? What if I'm not really healed? What, maybe my faith is in vain. Maybe I'm just imagining. I'm thinking wrong. All kinds of things could have been going through her mind, but she pressed through the fear. She went past the fear. She didn't get stuck in it. Fear wasn't something that controlled her, because she had faith in something else. And in faith, she began to have something else called courage, boldness. That's what we see when we get to the book of Acts. You remember? Peter and the apostles, it says that they spoke with boldness. God would tell Joshua, be of good courage. Don't get wrapped up in the fear thought, Joshua. Have courage. That same message goes to us. Don't fear. Press through the fear. I don't know what you're thinking about what lies in the future here, if you're afraid. But I will tell you this, if you are afraid and you don't work past the fear, you'll get nowhere. You will see your fears come to pass. That's what would have happened to the woman if she just said, I'm too afraid, I can't get to Jesus for whatever reason. She would have died of her issue of blood instead of witnessing the wonder-working power of Jesus Christ in her life. Jairus, the servant comes to him and says, Jairus, your daughter is dead. It's over. The fight's done. You can't do it. leave the Master alone. He can't help us with this. And what does Jesus say? Will you look with me? Verse 36. He said, Jesus says, be not afraid. Only what? What's that word there? Believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Put the fear away. Whatever it is that's got you afraid to make the effort, whatever's got you afraid to trust Jesus, whatever's got you afraid of the potential miracles there, press through it. Work past it. Whatever that fear is, let me tell you right now, it's lying to you. The devil's a liar. And he's whispered in your ear, you can't. You can't. Have you ever heard God say the words, you can't? What you'll hear from God is He'll say, with me, all things are possible. Even the raising of the dead with Jesus Christ. You can do all things. Though the world's against you, if Christ be for you, who can be against you? We've got to realize that the whole world could come against us, and if we only have God at our side, we will overcome because we trust in our Creator. We trust in the God of the universe, the one who has created all things. Press through the fear. 1 John 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know what love that verse is talking about? It's talking about John 3:16 love. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter what happens here. If you believe in the love that God gave through Jesus Christ, He'll get you through it. Don't be afraid. What is it that you're afraid of? It's not from God if you're afraid. If there's any fear inside of you, it's from the devil. And if you give in to that, you're giving in to the devil. Is that scripture? That's not a false doctrine, is it? Isn't that what the scripture says? Man, we're being choked by fear in our society, in our Christian world. It must change, because it'll keep you from doing what God wants you to. It'll keep you from making the effort. You won't even try. You don't even try? Well, it's done. You gave in to the devil. You let him win. You don't trust Jesus. Obviously, you don't trust Jesus if you don't even make the effort. You don't believe. If you really believe, you will see faith in action. You'll believe that whatever it is that God has laid on your heart is worth it. That there's something, there's a difference that He's got for you to make, and you believe. You will see a miracle. Anybody looking for a miracle today? I'm telling you, I think I saw one this week. The odds were against us. I guess the game's not over yet. We're still going to see. I guess maybe next week we'll know for sure. But I do know one thing. I made an effort. I believed God. I trusted Jesus. And I trusted not only in what I wanted, but I trusted in His will. Like, Lord, if it's Your will that this be kept like it is right now, You'll take care of it. And you know, by the end of the week, we saw hearts changing towards that situation. Next Sunday, I'll tell you about it, how it ends, maybe. But it still won't change the fact that I believe. And I believe that the cause was worth it. In fact, there's multiple things going through my mind right now that I believe God can do if His people would really have the faith, if they'll really put forth the effort, if they'll really trust Jesus, if they really want to see the miracles. But they've got to get to that fourth thing. They've got to press through the fear. We've got to press through it and look for Jesus Christ and His wonders on the backside of it. And I hope you understand this today. I don't know what's going on in your life. There's probably multiple things. This applies to all of them. It really applies to all of them. Who do you relate with the most? Jairus or the woman? God can get you through whatever situation is going on in your life. Put your faith in Him with action. The song leader and the pianist would come. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to understand Your power. Help us to understand the faith that You've given to us. Would You grow it in us? I know the Scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, man, there's so many days that I feel like my faith is so weak. And I even know that I need more of Your Word to make me stronger. So many times I feel like that one who came to You wanting to see the miracle. And you ask Him, do You believe? And He would say, Lord, I believe. Help Thou my unbelief. Make me better than who I really am. Help me to walk by Your Spirit. Would You give me Your wisdom? Help me to not lean onto my own understanding, but in all my ways, I would acknowledge You and allow You to direct my path. Help me to see You, Lord. Guide me, Lord, in these things. Guide the church. Guide Your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.